We're doing the Drashot HaRamban, Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima. We're up to page Kuf Samech Vav. And the Ramban has been steadily showing us the different benefits one gets from learning Torah, the different aspects of life that one can gain an understanding in from learning Torah. So the Ramban says like this, Ve'od, the secret of the understanding, the ordering of the species on the planet. I'm not sure exactly which system the Ramban is referring to when he uses this terminology, Soda Toladav. Ibn Ezra also uses this term. But let's see from the context if we can get a clear picture of what he means. That the Torah prohibited the consumption of certain animals and wildlife and birds and fish. And this too goes with the other ways of the Torah, that all the things of the Torah are good for a person, both physically and good for a person's soul, from the way God fashioned one's soul and from the aspect of mitzvot. So the Ramban here is giving us a very, very important rule. This is a rule that the Rambam also says in Igeret Teiman. The Ramban is saying that the mitzvot are beneficial to a human being, be it physically, be it spiritually. The mitzvot are here to benefit our existence, not only in the world to come, but in this world as well. Now, we don't understand how to apply this concept. This is a concept that the Ramban is saying is a general rule. But how do you apply it? If a person is going to say, must be the Torah didn't want us to go to cemeteries because it'll be depressing, let's say. That's why the Torah said there's a concept of defilement. Well, we have to remember that spiritually God made it that there is some form of defilement when you enter a cemetery. And one cannot say, well, I understand the reason why it's beneficial to us in this world, so I'll know how to apply the mitzvot. That's what the Reform do. That's wrong. Our tradition is whatever the Torah says, we maintain. We have rules of how to apply the Torah. Meaning we know if it's a time of danger, so then we forgo most mitzvot in order to save our lives. If a person needs medical treatment that's not kosher, so then we say, yeah, a person shouldn't die. He should eat the treatment that's not kosher. If a person needs to do some form of idol worship in order to be cured from something, then we'd say, no, that step you don't take. We don't do idol worship to save a life. That we don't do. But everything else almost we would do.
Nonsense.
Fine, I'm just saying, let's say a person is told that if you there is something, if you go to the Himalayas, there is some kind of idol over there, and for some reason whoever goes before that idol gets cured from this disease. He sees 15 other people in his ward went to the idol, they got cured. So we know it's not that the idol necessarily has this power or that power. It could be that they have some kind of herb there or something, but it's part of the process they do when a person serves that idol. He can't go. Bottom line, he can't go. so we have a very exact tradition as to what we could do and what we can't do. And even when we think we understand this, that the Ramban is saying, we can't apply it. It's important for us philosophically to understand that the Torah is good for us in this world and in the world to come, good for us physically, good for us spiritually, but at the same time, this is a philosophical concept, we don't apply it practically. So the Ramban says, it's not relevant to the learning, so let's talk after the learning. Right? So the Ramban says like this, Ki advarim ha'ile yadua she'inan ma'achalim tovim la'rfuah ve'labriyut. These things that the Torah prohibited, he says, it's known. These things aren't good for a person's health. They aren't good medically. U'milvad ze yesh lehem nezek b'nefesh mitzad ha'toladot. And aside from the fact that medically it's not good for a person to eat these foods, but spiritually it's not good for a person to eat the foods that the Torah prohibited. That's what the Torah says. Don't eat these foods, for if you do, you will become defiled in them. And the Torah writes the word v'nitmeitem without an aleph. The word tameh is taf mem aleph. It should have said v'nitmeitem with an aleph. The Torah leaves out the Aleph, Chaser Aleph, Lomar Shein Metamtemot Et Alev, because the Torah wanted to infer another understanding. Vinit Meitim could also be understood from the word Timtum, a blockage of the heart. That these foods also cause a blockage spiritually to one's heart. They cause one's heart to lose its potential for wisdom. Kasher Yadanu, as we know, Ki Alfot Asurim Kulam Dorsim, Chutz Mi Peres Vozniya. The impure birds, they are all birds that really hunt other birds or hunt. And the only exception are the two birds known as Peres and Ozniya. Lomar, right. The rest are birds of prey. Ve'en ba'olam of echad dores elahim. And you won't find in the world any bird of prey other than the birds that the Torah prohibits, those species. Ve'en ba'alech zariyut. And these are birds that are cruel birds. Ve'damam uvsaram molida zariyut panefesh. And eating their flesh or their blood causes a person to have this trait of cruelty. You are what you eat. Meaning the food we eat affects our personality. And the Jewish people who were commanded to be merciful people, to be loving of one another, and it's therefore fitting that they should be prohibited to eat this fowl. That's why the Torah says this fowl is foul. Guys, I know it's early in the morning, you could smile, it's okay. This fowl is foul. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat these birds. V'damam soref atva'im. And the blood of these birds, so to speak, burns the nature. Meaning even if a person is naturally created as a merciful person, when he eats the birds that are not merciful, it will affect what kind of person he is. V'hineh yesh lehem shinui gufani b'toldotam. So there's something different about them biologically. There's something different about these birds. Kmosh katuv, like our sages teach us. You want to know the difference between a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird when you go to buy an egg in the store? So Chazal said, chelbon mi bachutz, if the white is outside, v'chelmon mi bifnim, and the yellow is inside, teora, it's from a kosher bird. V'ahepech, if you go to buy an egg and you find the yellow on the outside, the white on the inside, tmea, you know it's defiled, or if it's mixed, you know it's defiled. Not all birds are created, their eggs are this way or that way. So the Gemara says, if you see the way the yolk is that it's different than the yolk of what we know of a chicken's egg, so that's a sign that it's a non-kosher bird.
But usually it's the same construction of eggs for all birds. Yolk should be in the center of eggs.
Some, I don't know when.
Beans, I don't know.
I don't know when Chazal
I
said
never,
it.
I never saw when this birds of prey when it should be a yolk outside. How is it possible? Yolk.
So could be the way Chazal meant it is it centered or to the side? We have to look into it. I don't know. When I learned the Gemara, I took it at face value.
It's the usual construction of even fish eggs, even this. Spawn, you know, it's always.
Well, from what I remember, no,
like
there's a difference.
It's like a resource, different, but it's.
I know you're the biologist, but tell me, isn't it so that, from what I remember, even in a human embryo, you have a situation where the at least for much of the development, the placenta and the embryo, or even in certain eggs, the yolk is really stuck to one side, to the outside of the. No, so then maybe that's what Chazal meant. Meaning, if the yolk is towards the outside, towards the peel, so that's cool that the yolk is externally. Not that you have an outside yellow and inside white. Maybe that's what Chazal meant.
Yes. But what is birds in other two? Mafres
ve Ozniya? Peres ve Ozniya. Peres and Ozniya are two of the 24 birds that are not kosher. There are 24 species not kosher. Haneshel ve'aperes ve'ozniya ve'hada'a ve'ara lemina ve'et kolorev lemino ve'et batayana ve'et atanshu ve'et anetz. The Torah enumerates all the birds that are not kosher, all the species. So
is it in English or in Latin?
I don't know. No. I don't know how to translate. We have to look in Rav Ari Kaplan's Living Torah.
Yeah, and sometimes it's even machloket. One translate in one way.
Right, we don't have an exact
even
tradition.
Even in Keshira, it's a different
We don't have an exact translation of the non-kosher birds. That's why we only eat birds that we have a tradition that they're kosher.
Yeah. Okay, but we are eating turkey.
That's its own discussion.
All American foods.
Turkey is a good question. And also the animals that are non-kosher are also differently biologically. The Talmud says that you can't make cheese of a non-kosher animal's milk. The Ramban says, I think, this is the Ramban's own hypothesis, he's postulating, that the consumption of the non-kosher animals also harms the reproductive, the human reproductive system. And so too when it comes to fish. Like the Talmud teaches us, the pure fish, they lay eggs, and the defiled fish, the fish that are not kosher, they do what's called mashritz. They form their babies are formed more like an animal, a wild animal's babies are formed. Not, they don't make eggs. A myriad of eggs in their stomach like the kosher fish do. So the nature, the biology of one is not like the other. And I'll also mention, says the Ramban, the concept of nida and the concept of question is over here if it should be shimush Torah or tashmish Torah. V'chein ha'inyan she'asar katuv ishto shel adam alav, klomar b'mei nidata. So the concept that the Torah prohibited a woman on a person, even his own wife, when she's had her period, until she becomes pure of the period and goes to mikvah, hu mitzad ha'tolada ki yadua v'arofim katvu ken. So he says we can understand it that there is also not only the spiritual aspect of why it's important for a person, but also the physical aspect. There's something biologically that is harmful to a person if he doesn't maintain these laws. And that's something that's known, and the doctors agree to this. We know that so long as the woman is having her period, she won't become pregnant. That in and of itself could be part of the reasoning behind why the Torah says a person should wait until she is pure. But there's much more to it than that. Votam gadol mizen. There's even a bigger reason behind it. Meaning, every mitzvah has many reasons behind it. It's not like there's one reason. So he says, one aspect is it's unhealthy. One aspect is that this way there's more of a chance a woman will become pregnant. Furthermore, there's an even bigger reason. Our sages say, if the woman did not go to mikveh and she becomes pregnant while she is defiled from the tumav nida, meaning from the minute a woman gets a period, even if she got it at age 12, till she goes to mikveh, she's a nida. And Chazal say that the child that's born, you won't see anything when he's young, but as he ages, then he could have certain skin diseases like tzaras. The him אומרים בזה פלג גדול מפלוט התולדה שם זל אומרים שאם שימש ביום ראשון לנידתה נעשה מצורה ל-20 שנה. He quotes a medrash that says that if they live together the first day of her period, then that child will have tzaras when he's 20 years old. So I guess in Chazal's time that were so. Today, I don't know. וצריך עיון. The Ramban himself says this deserves more study. What did Chazal mean? How does all of this work? ואנחנו אין חוכמתנו מגעת לדעת זה. And he says, we're not smart enough to understand this. אבל על כוחנו נודע שהוא רע לצרת. But what we do have to know is that the concept of nida, if one transgresses it, aside from all the other aspects, it's also something that can be harmful with regard to the tzarat, to this skin infection, which is, we don't know if it's exactly leprosy, but even leprosy is something very, very painful. There are women who don't have such lengthy periods, and they can become pregnant at the end of the period when they're still in nida. So we can't say that the whole concept of nida is just to help them get pregnant. Because sometimes a woman could become pregnant exactly then, at the end of her period. Our tradition is that part of the baby is formed from the mother's blood, and the philosophers claim all of the baby. The philosophers claim that the baby has nothing from the father's seed, but everything is formed from the matter of the woman. That's what the philosophers claim. Chazal said differently. And they gave an allegory for this, an egg. That an egg, so long as the chicken is alone, she lays eggs that do not form into, they cannot grow, hatch and become a young chicken. That the second the hen has a rooster around, so then the rooster can give it a different shape. So the philosophers claimed that when a man is with a woman, what he's doing is giving shape to her eggs, so to speak. And when she's alone, so she has the eggs without the shape. And that's why it comes out as a period and not as a human being. So he just causes a reaction. Chazal said no. The development of the fetus comes from both of them. Chazal attributed certain parts of, certain aspects of the human being come from the father, certain to the come from the mother. V'inei arofim odim shuken. And the doctors, he says, they also admit to Chazal that part of what evolves, I guess in the Ramban's time, the doctors already went with Chazal, that part of the child comes from the father and part of it comes from the mother. It's not that everything's from the mother, but the father causes the mother's chain reaction. One of their great composers wrote that the fetus is initially nourished from the blood that comes to the womb. And being that the head of the doctor said that the baby is satiated from the blood of the period, they thought what he meant was that it means literally. And he clearly proved that the baby can't live off the blood of the period, because it's a blood that's of bad quality. And certainly is not formed from it. So the Raman says, bottom line, the doctors are at different odds in his day and age at understanding whether a child or a woman could become pregnant, whether the blood of the nida is what forms the child or not. He says, but at the end of the day, what you do need to know is that the concept of nida is something that's very difficult, and it is something that's very beneficial, even in the physical world, for a person to refrain from it. Today, modern science says it for different reasons. There are diseases that a person can get from living with a woman while she has her period. But that's not the point. The Ramban is saying, the Torah told us what to do. The Torah knew why it was good for us. And the Torah said it for spiritual reasons and physical reasons. There are many physical reasons and there are many spiritual reasons. Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. But we have to know, and this is the key point here, that the performance of mitzvot is not just a spiritual thing. Even when it comes to the physical world, living in this world, it is beneficial for a person's life. And we discussed this also when we learned the Ger Teiman, that this is a phenomenal concept. People live their lives and they think, well, if I keep the Torah, I'll get the world to come. I'll have it good in the future. And what the Rambam says in Nigel Teiman, and what the Ramban is telling us here, is that the performance of mitzvot is good for us here, right now. So today, doctors might say, well, yeah, if you keep Shabbat, you have lower blood pressure, you'll rest. But we have to be very careful when we try to figure out what the reasoning is in this world. Because then someone will say, well, I'll go on a siesta. I'll go on a hike. I'll drive out to Eilat on Shabbat and I'll lower my blood pressure. So obviously, whenever we give a reason, what we're saying is the Torah is good for our lives in this world. And we could try to understand some of the reasons, but the essence of why Hashem commanded it, that we don't know. We could just appreciate that there are benefits in this world. And the Torah also alluded by prohibiting a woman who has a flow out of the set period, out of her time, that she needs 7 days to come clean of that. Shekalta koach adam arahu, that the Torah says she's really absorbed the bad strength that comes with that blood that's out of the period, meaning there's something wrong going on inside of her. And that's the general rule of all the ways of the Torah, to'elet laguf v'lanefesh. It is something beneficial to one physically and spiritually. For the great doctor, God, He knows how He created us. This is how He commanded we should leave. And in essence, says the Rambam, we should really expand on this a lot. For example, when it comes to the days of purity or the different things that can make a person defiled, tumas tzaras, shedana bem Torah din tzarat, the Torah said bohaku is also tzaras. Bekulan asik plot mimdoim, in all of them we could really attain the great understanding of the one who is complete in his knowledge. Ava pishanu behem kemi shemesim lishono b'yam gadol. Even though when we try to understand the logic behind the Torah, it's like a person sticking his tongue into the great sea. What does he taste of the great sea? He tastes minuscule amounts. There's a whole great sea out there. He sticks his tongue into it. He says, ah, now I know what the great sea tastes like. No, you know what it tastes like right here. So the Raman says we're very limited when we want to understand what are the benefits in this world from performance of mitzvot. But the concept we have to know. There is a benefit not only in the world to come, but this is also beneficial to us in this world. V'chein yesh b'ze siman nireh b'toladot, k'aristoteles katav b'sifro, v'u davar menuseh, כי אם תסתכל לנידה בתחילת נידתיו מראה של זכוכית היטב היטב, יראה בזכוכית כתם אדום, טיפת דם כחרדל, אם בזכוכית תדבק, קל וחומר לבלד, והנה כאפה הממית בראייה. The Ramban here quotes something that Aristotle wrote. I don't know, I don't think it works in our mirrors, but he says that if a nida will look in the mirror for a strong look in the mirror, so she'll see within the glass there'll appear a red dot, and that's like a little drop of blood can appear there. So if it can affect the glass, certainly it can affect the child that's born from it. So it's like it's got potential to be destructive, way beyond what we see. And this concept is known, that if a woman tries to knead dough when she's having her period, the dough won't rise. If a woman is given a gift of flowers when she is having her period, the flowers will wilt far more quickly than a woman who is not having her period. We know that there are things that the female body gives off when the woman is having her period, and Chazal told us that she doesn't become completely clean of them. The Torah says a woman is not pure till she goes to mikveh, and this indicates to us that these effects can only be removed through the mikveh. Again, this is just dabbling, like the Ramban said, sticking one's tongue into the great sea. But the concept is applicable all over. That everything the Torah tells us is something that is beneficial not only in the world to come, but in this world as well.